Hey everybody, welcome to the Sports in the Mitten podcast, powered by Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor. I'm your host, Adam Biggers, Michigan and Michigan State beat writer for FanRag Sports. And of course, lately the podcast has been centered on Michigan football, and that's going to remain the same today. And I want to send, just to mention a quick reminder, if you're listening to the Blog Talk Radio channel, FanRag Sports, we have that. You can find the podcast on there if you just want to listen, or if you like the live streams and want to watch me sit in my chair and answer your guys' questions. That works too. So real quick, the plugs. Follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. You can follow FanRag Sports at FanRag Sports and at FanRag underscore you, FanRagSports.com. I will be talking about an article today that we just posted, and it's kind of on the coaching changes. So I have a couple questions. Actually, the one I'm going to lead off today with Justin Green, that one kind of fits perfectly into that. I want to talk about fake news a little bit, not the political fake news. We're going to talk about fake news on the internet. Just want to give you guys a rundown of some really credible outlets and writers, because there's so much misinformation out there, and even by people. I mean, don't be fooled. I mean, just because there's a major outlet, doesn't necessarily mean. So I'm going to tell you guys who I know for a fact are the real deal. The men and women who get their facts straight, the men and women who are there all the time and get the information that the rest of the 50,000 fan blogs, kind of recycle and everything. So, and actually why that's fresh on my mind, let me go off the top of my head real quick. I mean, 247 Sports, those guys are accurate. I know Isaiah Hole's there all the time. Rachel Lindsay of landof10.com, she's there all the time. Her co-worker, Kevin Goheen, he's there all the time now. He's new on the beat. He's there all the time. Of course, Angelique, Detroit News. I mean, if it comes from Angelique, she tweets something, it's a legitimate. Wojo, I mean, people like that. He's also Detroit News. I'm trying to think. Of course, Scout. I mean, Josh Henschke, Sam Webb, Josh Newkirk, all those guys at Scout, they know what they're doing. They have their finger on the pulse too, so they get legit information. MGo Blog, I know that. I mean, it's a fan blog. MGo Blog is typically very reliable. Adam Schnapp, a hell of a writer over there. Those guys get good information. I'm trying to think of a couple of the other ones off the top of my head. Mark Snyder no longer there, but Mark was there. MLive, Nick Baumgartner, Dan Murphy at ESPN. Those guys are there. Those guys get good information. So, those outlets, I think, if you're not seeing it there, I know that on Twitter there's all kinds of people who are insiders and experts and claim this and claim that and anonymously. And I'm sure that one out of those, however many, hundreds or thousands or however many there are, maybe one of them really is connected. But like I said, you got to be careful. And I know a lot of people out there, it's kind of hard sometimes to distinguish who's media and who's I'm hearing this, I'm hearing that, and even if it's a media member. So go anyway. Long story short, just kind of check your facts, check those sites, and like I said, if it's not MLive, if it's not Detroit News, if it's not 247, if it's not Scout, I'm credible. If it's not me, those kind of people, Land of 10, I'm trying Michigan Daily, the people that are on the beat all the time, regulars, the coaches know them, the players know them, the Michigan staff knows them. Those are the people that I think that, you're probably best served to follow. And again, there's always that one in the bunch who might get some hot information and decide to post it, but 9 out of 10 times, you're probably going to get duped if it's not from, like I said, one of these credible sources. So, anyway, I'm off my soapbox now. Want to answer your guys' questions. I want to address this thing today that I saw actually on the Freep, and it was a poll of Jim Harbaugh overrated, so I thought that was kind of funny. And I'm sorry, I just missed that question. Something about the Tigers. I don't want to talk about the Tigers. We can talk about them if you want, but go ahead and pop that one up. So I want to address that, the Harbaugh overrated thing. I don't really understand why the reason to conduct such a poll, and I'll cite why. I want to talk a little bit about the article, like I said, that I mentioned, that just posted on FanRag Sports. And that's pretty much it. So, I mean, like I said, these podcasts, really, now we're starting to really get going. We're getting closer to the season. They are certainly fueled by you guys on Twitter. You guys give me something to talk about, and so it's fun that way. So let's get it started. I want to start with Justin Green at Hail Hail Mish 16. Justin yesterday tweeted a couple photos. I think everybody knows that I like baseball. He tweeted a couple photos from Comerica Park yesterday to, I don't know, evidently to make me jealous, or I don't know. But yeah, great seats along the third baseline, and he got to see a great game from the Tigers, I'll say that. So he wants, we're leading off with this. Hold on as I take a sip of my water. How much do you think the addition of Pep will change the passing game? More spread or still a lot of pro? And Pep, for those who don't know, Pep Hamilton, the new passing game coordinator at Michigan, actually talked to Pep yesterday. And I referenced this comment by Eddie McDoom, and, with it being faster. And I asked Pep, I mean, I think we all expect it to be faster, especially when your nickname is Pep. I mean, you kind of expect maybe a little more quickness. And Pep's kind of one of those guys, I don't think he's really, he's very strategic with his comments. He's very, I don't want to use the word bland, because it's not bland. He gives you well-thought answers, but at the same time, he's not really going to say a whole lot. And I mean, again, at this point, they've had, after today, 10 practices. So, I mean, not only are they not going to show their entire hand, I mean, I don't think Pep Hamilton really feels the need to sit down and discuss, all the ins and outs with the media. He'll tell us a little bit. How is the lawn, LOL, than the Tigers outfield? I saw it. The lawn looks great, actually. I keep it. It's a small lawn in the front. I let it grow a little bit longer in the back for the dogs, but keep the front, nice and lined, and definitely something that you want to go either hit a golf ball off of or roll it around, feel a grounder. He was giving the media nothing yesterday. Yeah, yes, Justin. TJ Bellware, why do you Florida fans think they're going to blow out Michigan? Well, I mean, why do Michigan fans think they're going to go beat Florida? I mean, right? The fans are fans of their team. So, I mean, Florida fans are riled up. And, I mean, Florida, I think, has got one of the best offensive lines in the country. I was chatting yesterday with a buddy on the phone. He was telling me he's very familiar with football down south, very familiar with Florida recruiting. He's a former coach. And he was telling me, he's like, look at Florida. It's three of the top NFL wide receiver prospects are at Florida. So, I mean, just that kind of stuff. So, I mean, if you're a Florida fan, you know, there's all kinds of little stats and info and everything that make you believe, like, hey, we're going to go to Dallas and we're going to kick Michigan's ass. But at the same time, if you're a Michigan fan, you're like, hey, no, that's, man, the Wolverines have X, Y, and Z, Jim Harbaugh, you know, all this stuff. So it's back and forth. I mean, if you don't think that your team's going to win, I think maybe you're not being that much of a fan. And I know fans, you got to temper your expectations, but I guess the gist of that one would be is, it's Florida fans are confident in their team, and why not? And Michigan fans are confident in their team, so why not? So, Justin, back to your question. How much do you think the addition of Pep will change passing game? More spread or still a lot of pro? Again, Pep wasn't really saying much yesterday. I do expect it to be faster. He mentioned this, and I'm going to read a quote from the article. Again, that's on fanragsports.com. You can find it on Twitter at fanrag_U. In one moment, I have a question. What's the outlook for Luigi Villan? Jacob Walters wants to know. Defensive end, Jacob. I talked with Chris Partridge. He said that Luigi and Quitty were not in the linebackers group, that they primarily worked with Greg Madison. And I'm looking at the screen. That's why I'm up close. Okay, those questions, if you guys have any more, feel free to ask. But again, back to Jason. Pep said this. I don't know if we've gotten faster as much, These young guys have had an opportunity to go through an offseason with strength and conditioning coach Kevin Tolbert and our strength staff. And once again, spend time together as a team over the course of the summer. They probably have more of a grasp and understanding of what it is we're coaching and asking them to do. And as a result, they're able to go out and play fast and compete faster. So at the same time, Pep was saying that he it's not going to be faster. It's not necessarily his tempo, but at the same time, he's saying they're able to go out and compete faster. Well, who is your prediction for, Jacob wants to know, prediction for starting cornerbacks? LeVert Hill and David Long, but I think watch out for Keith Washington for sure. Keith's going to be in that two deep. I've got some reports from practice. Keith has been doing very well. Another question, Justin Green. If Harbaugh is overrated, I'm a purple unicorn. He's building his own team. It'll take time. We'll get to that question or that poll here momentarily. Justin, I want to get into the other questions. But again, read this article on FanRag Sports. It highlights with Pep Hamilton. Pep talks about the offense. I ask him about the speed of the offense. And again, he wasn't really giving out any groundbreaking information. But I think if you listen closely, you want to hear some keywords. It is there, and I do believe they're going to be faster. Eddie McDoom said during a youth camp that he expected them to be faster and put up some points on the scoreboard. And I'll preface this by saying that I asked Pep, how does an offense that scores 40 points per game get faster? And, I mean, they averaged 74.3 plays per game last year. So that's not exactly a bad tempo. I mean, if you're looking at the really fast teams, Baylor was like 88 plays per game. They were number one in the nation. Guys, I did not see those questions flash. Keep them coming, but I'm trying to do five things at once here to answer the questions and the ones on YouTube. Again, just keep them coming. The second question, I'm going to scroll up the mentions here. And again, if you have a question live, at AdamBiggers81. Yeti Hawk, at I'll Go Hawk. Is the O-line holding their own better now in camp versus day one? O-line will sink or swim Michigan and Wilton Spate. Yeti, so far, I mean, again, they're not really, I'll say this, Mason Cole did mention that he's getting more reps at tackle. I do expect Mason to be the starting left tackle, but at the same time, they're alluding to, you know, the best five players, everybody's competing, and, I mean, they're saying, I don't know if it's necessarily what they're told to do, but, I mean, they're in training camp, and when you're in that team atmosphere, you're not going to just say everything that's going on internally, so, I mean, a little bit slips out here and there. Brian Hall, there has been more of a serious vibe going around the program with the way last season ended. Do you think Michigan fly under the radar, dark horse, win the Big Ten? Yeah, I mean, yeah, I do think that Michigan is a team capable of winning the Big Ten. I mean, the Michigan was capable of winning the Big Ten last year, but I mean, you got to win your division with Penn State, Ohio State. I mean, that's Penn State and Ohio State are pretty strong. Jacob Walters wants to know, what is your win-loss prediction for season and specifically the Florida game? Jacob, I think Michigan all day is an 8 or 9 win team. I have my early prediction. I did pick Florida. I think it was like, I don't know what I put, 20-17, because they asked for an early prediction, and this was back in like spring. So I'll probably adjust it. Since then, Florida has lost its leading returning tackler. So I do believe it's going to be a close game. I know that's a generic answer. Maybe get some lucky bounces or something like that. I mean, Wisconsin just lost Jack Sitchy, so that maybe that helps the Wolverines against the Badgers. I don't know. But I think 8 or 9 wins all day, definitely capability of 10 wins. Certain things have to go right, but I don't expect anything. I mean, I'll just go in the middle and say 9. So back to Yeti Hawk's question, is O-line holding their own better now in camp versus day one? O-line will sink or swim Michigan and Wilton Spate. Again, Yeti Hawk, so far so good, and I think if there were struggles, I don't think they're going to come out and say, hey, you know, we're struggling right now, you know, we got to get this going, we just lost 3 all Big Ten starters, and I don't think that's going to happen. But speaking with Mason Cole, Mason's pretty upfront, even though I know that he does try his best, he's not trying to say too much, and that's a sign of maturity. You know that he's a leader of the team, you know that he's one of those guys, again, who's not going to just go out and just say whatever to the media. So, but based on Mason's demeanor, and sometimes it's hard to gauge, but I would say that he's confident. And, I mean, you got to look, they're a talented team. I mean, Juwan Bushel-Beatty or John Runyon at right tackle. TJ Bellware wants to know, what type of role Aubrey plays as a freshman this year? I mean, I think he'll get some action. I don't expect Aubrey... I mean, too deep maybe, I think, would be the top for him. Which corner do you think matches up with Callaway week one? Well, we're getting Mitchell Benzing. We're getting ahead of ourselves. I want to wait for the very specific Florida previews. We'll do that during game week, okay, guys? Right now, just trying to camp questions, that kind of stuff. I don't mind the win-loss predictions and everything, but, again, things change so much. I mean, guys get injured, other unforeseen circumstances, so... I want to wait till it gets a little bit closer, but right now I think I'll say coin toss between Florida and Michigan. It really depends if, honestly, it depends on the demeanor, I think, for Michigan and Wilton Spate. And I think if you're Wilton Spate, you hear all this chatter, you hear everybody talking about you and how Michigan fans don't want him to be the starter. I mean, there are some, but then there are others who don't. I think that they are the loudest. Maybe not necessarily more of them, but certainly the loudest. So I think a lot of it depends on the mentality of Wilton Spate. I mean, Wilton can go and command a game. And while we're on that, I just want to say it. Everybody's and this goes back to the article, ball security is major. Michigan averaged one fumble per game last year. Wilton Spate, 7 interceptions. 4 of those came in like 4 of the 5 last games. He never had a multiple interception game other than the Ohio State game. He completed 61.6% of his passes. That was the second highest completion rate in the Big Ten behind Perry Hills of Maryland, who completed 61.9%, but he also threw 134 fewer passes than Wilton Spate. Wilton had the third highest. I mean, it's like, I feel like one day, hey, Wilton, like, we're going to have a conversation, you know, maybe, like, when he's in the NFL or something one day, maybe if that ever happens. And, like, I feel like sometimes I have to go out of my way to, like, defend Michigan's quarterback, and I don't get it. The numbers do not lie with this guy. I mean, they simply don't. Take away your personal feelings about the next man up always being better. I mean, Michigan fans, let's be honest here. You guys wanted Devin Gardner really bad, right, when Denard was struggling. When Devin was struggling, you guys wanted Shane Morris really bad, right? You guys wanted John O'Korn really bad last year over Wilton Spate. So, I'm just trying to say it. It's funny listening to Bass trying to defend Wilton, or listening, Bass says, funny listening to me to defend Wilton. It is funny because it's like, I don't get it. The numbers are there for this guy. He's not the flashiest guy. Maybe I can understand sometimes that he makes, you know, if you're a Michigan fan, you get a little nervous. He's good under duress. He's done everything he's had to. So now we're off the Spate thing. I don't want to talk about Wilton Spate anymore, but it is funny because it's like, God, you guys, Michigan has a really good quarterback on the Maxwell watch list, and you still don't want this guy to start. So, no, it's okay, Bass. It wasn't bad grammar. These comments go really quickly. I read just kind of the key words out of them sometimes because they stay up literally for like 3 seconds. So, not bad grammar on your part at all. So, Yeti, O-line holding up, yes. Brian Hall wants to know, with reports of offensive line being the most improved unit from last year, how much of an improvement do you see happening in the run game? Well, we've talked about this before. I think Chris Evans has the opportunity to be a 1,000-yard back. He had like half the carries of Devion last year, and he had 600 and some change, 7 yards per carry. I think it will be an improved run game. Caron Higdon is a back to watch as well. And again, Jim Harbaugh mentioned this pecking order. I know people are out on message boards and saying that it's definitive that Caron Higdon is leapfrog Chris Evans. Until I hear it for myself, I'm going to call BS on that. So I know that Jim Harbaugh told me specifically, because I asked the question, that it was, in this order, Chris, Caron, Ty Isaac, Kareem Walker. And that was it. TJ Bellware, the reason why I want Brandon Peters to start is because I can't read it. He'll be a quality backup, TJ, behind Wilton Spate. And yeah, next year, college football playoff, I mean, there's turnover at quarterback. I understand that. But there's no anti-Spate argument in my mind other than pure fan emotion that wants Wilton. No, you don't have to apologize. You don't have to apologize, TJ. Oh, for next year. No, I know what you're saying. I get it. Trust me. But to me, I mean, you got to think with logic. Next year is next year too, right? This year is this year. So, okay, why play for next year? They're playing for this year. Wilton Spate is the best quarterback that Michigan has. End of argument. I'll say that. So with the reports, how much improvement do I see? And that's from Yeti again. Losing 3 All Big Ten starters is going in deal. These questions are coming quickly, guys. I personally think Wilton could be a great quarterback. He's only started 1 year and he got hurt. People take shiny new glass. Yep, I agree with that. And I did not see the comment under that one. So please, it was a J. Your name had a J icon. Go ahead and do that one again. Jacob, unrelated to Michigan, how's the seat for Mark Hollis and how hot? Also, Jacob, I want to save that. We'll save that for another episode. I have touched on that right now, or I have touched on that in the past, so Let's save that for a different one. I'm in Michigan football camp mode right now. I'm trying to remain on track for it. I don't think it's hot as a lot of people want to make it, though, put it that way. Mark D'Antonio's not on the hot seat this year. He's another year. Now you got me going on this. Another year like last year, some more off-the-field stuff, then yes, it's hot. No, fans right now, Michigan State fans, just want to see a rebound from 3-9. They want to forget everything from last year. It's like basically erased 2016. And I know that it can't be done, and I'm not negating the seriousness of the allegations against the three players, Austin Robertson, separate. You know, we've discussed all that. Bass says, I don't want Mark gone. No, I think Mark D'Antonio is great for the Michigan-Michigan State rivalry. Michigan State doesn't want Mark gone either. So, back to your guys' questions, scrolling up here. And I appreciate all the ones on YouTube. This is like probably the heaviest I've had in a live one, so I got to juggle these. Questions are mostly replies here. Let me see. This one, Andrew Burris. If Wilton starts all 12 games, what would you expect his stat line to be? Well, let's see. Last year he had like a 100-yard game against Rutgers, and then they pulled, you know, like what? I think he threw 13 passes, completed 6 of them. They pulled him out of that one, and they won 78-0. So, yeah, 6 of 13 for 100 on the nose and an interception. So, if we look at his stat line, and I have that pulled up right now, of last year, 2,611 yards, 19 touchdowns, and 8 picks. And those 7 picks that I mentioned were in the Big Ten regular season. That's not counting the bowl game. So, I think somewhere in the range of 3,000 yards is more than fair. I mean, he had, what, 3 bad games. And I wouldn't even say bad altogether. He had 3 games that he wasn't playing his peak performance, and neither was Michigan in those games. Oh, just saw big blurbs of questions there, guys. Get them back in there. I'm sorry. I wanted to cover this question real quick, but Wilton Spate stat line. I could see somewhere in the range of, if it is a little bit quicker offense, I could see somewhere in the range he's pushing 3,000 and you know 21, 22 touchdowns. I don't see that. I don't see that being a problem at all. So, to answer your question there, if he starts all 12 games, what would you expect his stat line to be? I would say 3,000 yards, 22 touchdowns, probably, you know, 60% completion, somewhere in the range of, you know, as many interceptions as he threw last year. And they weren't a lot. I get it. The interceptions that he did throw were painful for Michigan fans to watch. I understand that. So, I think, though, you can live with a quarterback who's going to throw, you know, who's capable of going for 3,000 yards, 20 plus touchdowns, and he keeps that touchdown turnover ratio to a minimum there. I don't see, you know, anything more than, you know, what he threw last year, 7-8 interceptions. TJ Bellevue, do you think Eddie McDoom has potential to be a wide receiver one, or is he a pure speed guy with slot? I think Eddie's more of a slot guy. Bass wants to know, if the offense, oh, it just went away. Something about if the offense opens up, Bass. Put that one in there again. I will wait for you. I think I'm at the end of my questions. And I believe so. I'm going through the mentions right now. I think that's it, guys. If I did miss your question, I apologize. I try to read them all. But I do believe that's a bunch of replies. Sometimes yesterday, if you watch the videos around my YouTube channel, you can hear me kind of hacking a little bit. I had just got done eating Mr. Spots. I've had 3 10-inch Mr. Spot steaks, and they gave me this T-shirt. So if you're listening on the FanRag Blog Talk Radio channel, you can't see it. But Keith hooked me up with a T-shirt, and I've had 3 subs in 24 hours, and I'm living life. Will DPJ be the number one wide receiver by the end of the season? Ooh, that's Jacob. I'll put it this way. I expect Donovan to have an all freshman type year. He's got to be one of those guys, though, that really wants it, has to go hard in practice all the time. And that's kind of my tip. The athleticism is there. Like I mentioned the other day, 4.41 40. Bass, one more time, man. I'm sorry. I'll get it. I was just saying, if the offense opens up, I believe Wilton will have an awesome year. Yeah, I mean, the offense last year, I mean, it was aerial compared to what we had seen in the previous years because Michigan didn't have a quarterback. I mean, Jake Rudock was the bridge. Jake Rudock is the one who really helped expand that aerial game. And he and Jed Fish, I think, were a pretty good combination. I think Wilton and Jed were a pretty good combination. But you got to take this into account. Wilton and Pep are going to be a really good combination. And that's just the way I view it. I think Pep Hamilton as a whole, and I'm not saying I like Jed Fish a lot. I thought Jed was a great guy. But I think Pep Hamilton, ideally, is probably a little more suited for what Michigan wants to do. That's my personal thought based on some conversations that I've had. So I think that ideally that Pep Hamilton is actually a better fit than Jed Fish was. So, and if you look at the offense under Jed Fish, it was pretty good. MIC Brooke, is Monet going to have a healthy year? So will he dominate in the past? That's a great question. And actually, in Michigan News, Brian Monet was put on the watch list for Polynesian Player of the Year. So good for Brian. And I was actually asked this question during a live stream that didn't upload. And they said, is there a Michigan player that you're rooting for this year? And I responded, I don't root for any of these guys. Okay, I'm not a Michigan fan. I'm not a Michigan cheerleader. I cover Michigan. That's my job. But I do look at the coaches. I look at the players. I look at all these people who are living their dreams, right? You got to respect that. All these guys are working their asses off. And if you look at them as just people, Brian Monet, one of the most energetic guys I've ever met. I'll never forget last year. And he was going, he was healthy. He was so happy that he made it through camp healthy. Because remember the year before, his leg got broke during special teams drill. Jabril Pepper stepped on his leg. I think it was during a kick return or a field goal return, one of those two. So Brian was so happy to have made it through camp. And he said, then if you could see, you can't see on Blog Talk, but you can see here, he's bouncing around. He's happy. And big, you know, what is he, 6'4", just huge guy. Brian was just elated. And then he gets injured. And that, I mean, I don't care if you're, you know, what fan, you know, if you're a fan of the team or not, if you just know what, you know, these athletes do to reach their goals and everything, you feel bad. And I did feel bad for Brian. So I'm not saying I'm not rooting for Brian. Well, I'll say this. I'm not rooting for Michigan. I'm rooting for Brian to have a good year. I will say that because, again, you get to know these guys a little bit as people. You interact with them and you understand what they're doing and all the work that goes into it. And you don't want to see anybody get injured, right? I mean, if you cheer injuries, I don't think you ever played sports. And if you cheer injuries, that's not cool at all. So, from that standpoint, definitely. I'm rooting for Brian to be a high draft pick, says Base. If Brian has the kind of year I think that everybody knows that he can have, I don't think there's a reason why you wouldn't consider Brian Monet as one of the top defensive tackles at peak Brian Monet, though. Let's keep that in mind. Let me see. I think those were all the questions, guys. Let me see if you have any more, real quick. I'll answer them. I think I basically touched on the article enough. I will say Henry Poggi mentioned pass protection as being huge. Do you think Michigan will flip Josh Jobe from Miami, Florida? Zach Drake wants to know. We're gonna do a recruiting episode actually, and that's a. Thank Justin Hall for that. Justin wanted to know about recruiting. We're going to do a recruiting episode Friday. We will have regular recruiting updates as they come to during the show. So we're going to save that one for tomorrow, Zach Drake. MIC Brooke, will Drake Harris see any time this year? At cornerback, I think that he will, but special teams. But, I mean, you know that he's been moved from wide receiver to corner now. And I think with Drake, he's 6'4". Excuse me, I'm not sure what he's weighing in at right now. And I can't say who said it. It was at availability. Somebody said it about Drake. Maybe it was Harbaugh in Chicago. Someone said that he moved fluidly. So we'll go with that. Ethan Lahinnis. I hope I pronounced that right. What does the offensive line starting lineup look like against Florida? Ethan, I don't know then, but I'll say this is my best guess for starting offensive line. We'll go from left to right. Mason Cole, left tackle. Ben Bredesen, left guard. Patrick Kugler at center. Mike Onwenu at right guard. And then Jawan Bushel-Beattie at right tackle. Maybe John Runyon. I'm thinking that it's Jawan. And I will say this, that Tim Drevno said that maybe some guys will swing over there. Again, they're not just handing out depth charts and saying, hey guys, this is who we're thinking. Go ahead, go talk about it, write about it. Got to learn this stuff on your own. Will Hudson be as good at Jabril at Viper specifically? Jacob Walters wants to know. I mean, I know that there's high hopes for Kalik, but I mean, to say as good as Jabril Peppers, I mean, Jabril Peppers was a Heisman finalist, right? We haven't really seen much of Kalik Hudson. Saw a little bit of him last year. I was impressed by Kalik. I was impressed by Devin Bush Jr. I thought those guys were just had really, really solid. Josh Metellus had really solid debuts. And again, and on this Josh Metellus thing, I do want to clarify, again, and at the top of the show, I said, be mindful where you get your information. Make sure. I do want to clarify. During a youth camp, I had talked about Josh. I had talked with Josh Metellus about the Viper position. At that point in time, he was competing to be starting Viper and was going to double as a linebacker with Kalik. That has now actually changed. Kalik is the Viper, and he will double as a linebacker. Josh Metellus is playing safety. Isaiah Hull of 247 Sports had that information. I didn't see the tweet. I must have missed it. I didn't read that. But I was going on by what I was told at a youth camp in June. So I did issue a retraction of sorts and did credit Isaiah with that. But again, just mentioning that. So do you think Mo Hurst could be number one pick in the NFL draft year? Zach Drake wants to know. I don't know about number one pick. We've seen defensive linemen go number one, right? I mean, Myles Garrett, guys like that, really high draft picks. I'm sorry, guys. I'm looking and I miss those questions. Get them in more. I do think that Mo Hurst could be the first defensive lineman drafted in the NFL next year. I mean, I think he could be an early first rounder. It depends on the team and, you know, all that stuff. But I don't think I expect Mo Hurst. If Mo Hurst lasts past like the second or third round, I would be shocked, completely shocked. And I don't think he will last that. What are we hearing about Grant Perry? Justin Green wants to know. I don't expect he's practicing because I know that he scored a touchdown against Keith Washington in practice. I don't think that we'll see Grant on the field this year. That's just my thought. So, I think those are all the questions. Trying to keep up here. I do want. Oh, there's one more from Brent Piunti. Hopefully I pronounced that right. Realistically, who do you think starts at wide receiver? I feel other than two starting cornerbacks, that's the most important position battle. Does Sitchie being out change your opinion on the Wisconsin game? Casey Brown wants to know. I mean, right now, yeah, on paper, a little bit. But not, I mean, it's still at Camp Randall. And Wisconsin is more than Sitchie. But you lose a star linebacker, one of the best linebackers in the Big Ten. I mean, people are talking about him potentially as one of the best linebackers in the country. I do think it changes it a little bit. I mean, maybe not too much. It's not, I don't know, I'm stuttering here. That's a good question, Casey. Again, it's really early to answer this kind of stuff. And I know that you guys wanted to talk about it. But, I mean, this game is, you know, months away. How much of Eddie McDoom will we see? I think we'll see him as a returner and a slot guy. And I missed those two other questions. All right, guys, we're going on 34 minutes. I can stick around for a few more. So get any final questions, be sure I'm monitoring them as much as I can. Back to Brent's question. Brent, realistically, who starts at wide receiver? I'll pick four guys that I think are going to be right in that mix. And I think it's going to be Kakoa. I think it's going to be Tariq Black. For some reason, I'm thinking Nate Shonley. And I'm not even kidding. They've mentioned Nate Shonley a few times. Do you think Michigan builds a package for Ben Mason, or do you think he is used sparingly? I don't know, Mitchell Benzing. Have Kalik and Hank there. So maybe Ben gets a red shirt this season. I don't know. Don't know. That's a good question. When you have Khalid Hill, arguably the best fullback in the country, and the stats are there. I mean, Khalid Hill is complete. He can catch out of the backfield. Khalid Hill is a complete player. Henry Pogge as well. I don't think there's really any need for anyone else. Mitchell Benzing, that was a Ben Mason question. But Jacob, I'm sorry, that one. What position group? Something upgrade. Go ahead and give me that one again, Jacob. But again, wide receivers, I think it's going to be Kakoa Crawford. I think it's going to be Tariq Black. I do think DPJ is going to be in there. Nate Shonley, Mo Wade. So I gave you five. I think those are probably the five guys. Nate Johnson, I've heard Nate's name a couple times too. So I don't know what to make of that. Maybe that he's pushing. I think after this week of camp, I'll have a better idea of, you know, maybe the top six, seven wide receivers. So that might. Hearing a lot about Oliver Martin this morning on the morning shows, even at punt returner, Casey said. Any thoughts? Casey, honestly, I haven't heard a ton about Oliver Martin. So I don't know what show that you're listening to. If it's like Sam, if it's WTKA, those guys know. So if it's on those morning shows, they might be hearing something. So I wouldn't doubt it. Again, I'm saying I haven't heard it. I don't hear every single thing, but I like to think that I hear most things. I haven't heard that about Oliver Martin. But if that's what they're saying, then I think that that's probably good information. So my thoughts on that would be, they need punt return, they need kick returners, right? I mean, there's no more Jordan, there's no more Jabril. So you got to do something there. I do think Eddie McDoom's a good option. I think Chris Evans is a good option. I'm not sure, you know, if Chris is the number one back, I'm not sure how much more they're going to want to put on his shoulders. So, you know, we have to consider all those things. So, Brent, I hope that answered your question. And then he also says, I feel that other than starting cornerbacks, wide receiver is the most important position battle. I agree. I mean, and I think if you're the quarterback, you know, there's no more Amara, there's no more Jayu. So you got to think of, like, no more Jake Butt. Like, what are we going to do now? You know, if I'm Michigan's quarterback, that's probably what I'm thinking and want to build up with those guys. Date set for the Florida preview show. Mitchell, I leave on the 30th for Dallas, so I might do, I'll probably do live streams there. So, catch that. We'll be on, like, there's so much stuff on, like, Instagram. We'll have a bunch of stuff on FanRag Sports. I'll be in Dallas or Arlington for Michigan versus Florida. I'll do live stream podcasts from there. Probably can't do them on site in the stadium. Depends on what the regulations are, but I'll definitely do those. Jacob, I'm sorry, man. That one keeps going. Something about position groups. I will not end the show without answering that one. I promise. Put it up there again. One more time. Cornerback, yeah, that's an important battle. And I know Nick Baumgartner of MLive.com asked a question about that to Don Brown at some point last week. So I haven't checked, but I'm pretty sure Nick probably wrote about that. So check that out. It's probably a good piece. So, guys, tons of live viewers right now. I appreciate it. What position groups will be worse this year compared to last? Jacob Walters wants to know. Well, let's see. I think it's fair. I mean, I think the fair one would be to point to the secondary. I mean, you just lost an All-American corner, one of the best shutdown one-on-one guys Michigan's ever had. And and that was Jordan Lewis, of course. You lost Demonte Thomas, you lost Delano Hill, lost Jeremy Clark, lost Channing Stribling. I mean, all those guys are in the NFL now. So, I mean, worse, if you want to use that word. But at the same time, I do like Michigan secondary. I think they're young. They're really fast. That, I'll say this, that'd be the worst position to have the most growing pains, because you don't want these young corners getting tested and failing, especially early with the deep ball. You get thrown on all day long, and sometimes it may not matter how good your defensive line or your linebackers are. Because I do believe, even though they're young at linebacker, Michigan, and I've been told this by several players during the offseason, the guys who had graduated, been drafted, undrafted free agents, they said that they believed, Eric Magnuson specifically said that he believes that they're really deep at linebacker. And that's coming from an offensive lineman who's gone up against those guys in practice all the time. So I would take what Eric said over probably what anybody else says, because he was there, he knows, and he told me directly. So I would, but at the same time, and we know about the D-line, right? At the same time, it won't matter how good those guys are if the cornerbacks cannot, I'm trying to think of the right word here, succeed in coverage. If they're getting burned, and again, at cornerback, that's a position where I feel like if you're young, it's easy to get exploited, maybe more so than other positions. So, and Florida, again, with that, you know, top three, I think, NFL prospects as far as wide receivers concerned. Casey says, yeah, I was on Sam Webb's roundtable this morning. Sam said it, it's good. Casey, any word, Base wants to know, any word on Lawrence Marshall? I've been wanting to ask about him. I've heard his name, and there was a question below that one. Please submit that one again. It was a long question. It looked like a good one. Base, I've heard about Lawrence Marshall, and I did mention this. Someone asked me, like, is there a breakout guy this year? Maybe that we're not talking about. Maybe not a guy with a big name. Lawrence had a big name going into Michigan. But I feel like Lawrence, health reasons, things like that, have kept him from really doing much. Watch out for Lawrence. I think maybe he's a guy that gets in there and too deep. They can use him defensive end, outside linebacker, on the edge. I think they're going to be strong on the edge. Quiddy and Luigi are going to be there as defensive ends. I think Lawrence Marshall is a guy maybe keep in the back of your mind a little bit, or maybe push him to the front. Start thinking about Lawrence Marshall a little bit. I do think that Lawrence gets – I think Lawrence gets some playing time. MIC Brooke, do you trust Nate Johnson punt returning after his ball control issues in spring game performance? That is a big hole in Michigan, and that was a long question. Long story short, I mean, you can't base everything off the spring game. There's some things that you could take away from the spring game. You can't base everything. I wouldn't really be worried. And at the same time, you got to think. I mean, it was a spring game. Hasn't played. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to blame it. You know, say nerves or jitters. I mean, Nate knows. Maybe he just effed up. I mean, that's the best way to put it. Everybody has those moments, right? It doesn't matter how good you are. Sometimes you have those moments. They happen. So I'm not worried. I haven't seen enough to worry, put it that way. Chris Smith, do you think the coaching staff burns as many or more red shirts than they did last year? Well, Chris, I don't think there's probably going to be a lot of reason, right? Because, I mean, how many 23 true freshmen played last year? I mean, I think we'll see some true freshmen play this year. They've said as much, and possibly a good amount. But, I mean, I don't think it's going to just be I don't think we're going to see nearly as many as we saw last year. So, I know that's kind of a bland answer. I'm sorry. Going on 42 minutes, guys. I'll stick around. We'll make this a 45-minute show. I'll stick around if you have any more. Oh, there's some questions. Number one receiver, Matt the Destroyer wants to know, who will be the number one receiver this year? That's a tough one, Matt. I don't know. I'll go, I mean, just returning, played the most games, experience-wise. Maurice Ways or Kakoa Crawford. Potential-wise, athleticism-wise, I don't think it's out of the question to think that Donovan or Tariq would be one of those guys. I mean, I know that Tariq, and I've been hearing really good things about Tariq. I mean, I've heard good things about Donovan, but I've been hearing really good things about Tariq, too. So I think there's reason, and Donovan was the number one ranked receiver in the nation for a reason. Tariq, I heard, is really working hard. I think there's reason to be excited about those guys. Jacob Walters, will Cesar Ruiz start this year, in my opinion? No, I don't think so. I do think he'll be right there. He'll be backup center. At one point, I was thinking maybe it's Cesar Ruiz at center or Kugler, but I think I'm set on Patrick Kugler as a center. But with Cesar, I don't think you'll see him anywhere. Maybe at one of the guard spots as a backup. I heard some people talking about Cesar being like a backup left tackle. I don't know. I don't really necessarily know if I agree with that. Matt the Destroyer, will Ian Bunning or Tyrone Wheatley be starting tight end? I think it's Tyrone. And then Ian, and then Sean McKeon is the third. Bass, speaking of Mo, will he have a greater role this year? Mo Hurst? He'll have a greater role this year. Look at the spotlights on him, right? He's got a great role. Not only does he have to play well, he's got the national spotlight on him. But yeah, I did ask Don Brown this question, guys. Sorry, MIC Brooke. Wait a second, MIC Brooke. I'll get your question in, I promise. Well, Ty Isaac is going to get it together this year, or is he a dud? Ooh, that's a damned if you do, damned if you don't question, right? I mean, we've seen what Ty Isaac can do. Explosive, powerful runner, and maybe not explosive like the lightning quick, but I'll say powerful, get the hell out of his way kind of runner. And we've seen that with 70, you know, what was it, 75 or 74 yarder against UNLV. I mean, he's had the plays that turn your head and go, wow, this guy could be really good if he could, but why can't he stay on the field? That's kind of my opinion on Ty Isaac. And again, I was surprised when Harbaugh named him as the third running back. I thought for sure Kareem Walker was in there. So maybe Ty is turning the corner. So I don't want to say, you're asking one way or the other, and I don't always want to be safe and be in the middle, but I think he's going to be closer to productive than non-productive, put it that way. I think that we'll see more out of him than we have. Oh, Bass, I'm sorry, I meant Mo Ways. Moez, yeah, I think, well, when it comes to Moez, I go back to this comment. Jim Harbaugh mentioned him for his blocking, and they're going to need pass protection this year. And like I said, Henry Poggi said that pass protection is a big emphasis. Khalid Hill mentioned it in spring, too. So you want to have good blocking receivers. Set up the run, set up the pass. Who will be playing center, Jacob Walters wants to know. I think it's Patrick Kugler. How will Michigan something, Matt the Destroyer, Zach Gentry, how will they use him? I don't know. Scout team, depth. I mean, they're stacked at tight end. I mean, they really are. And I know that they moved. I remember when that happened, when I was told that Zach Gentry was taking reps at tight end. It's like as soon as he got there, really. I don't think the plan was ever for him to be a quarterback. Why did Henry Poggi get rid of the mullet? Linebackers all have the... Matt Morris wants to know. Matt, hey, thanks for commenting. That, and if you saw that video, I was like, are you sure you're Henry Poggi? Henry's one of those guys, real personable, real fun to talk about. Talk about. Saw another question. Something about right tackle. But Matt, with Henry, I don't know why he cut it here. New look, same attitude. New look, same attitude, we'll say that. Talk about the Harbaugh overrated thing. Yeah, Justin Green. Yep, thank you. I forgot about that one. We're going to leave that. Okay, we're going to end the show on this, guys. One more question. Are you worried about starting safety's coverage skills? No. Tyreek Kittle, Josh Metellus, those guys are athletes. I'm not worried. And like I said, I know that kind of contradicts what I said. If there's going to be growing pains, it'll be the most evident in the secondary because they're young, but I'm not worried that these guys can't catch on. I don't think that there's going to be a major issue. Who will start at right tackle? Matt the Destroyer. I think it's Juwan Bushel-Beatty. Are you eating Mr. Spots for dinner? Chris Smith wants to know. I wish. I live in Flint. So we don't have Mr. Spots up here. But I will be eating as much. Maybe I can ask Tim and Keith to like send me care packages. Make sure to like keep me fed when I'm not there. But if you are in Ann Arbor, 808 State Street, right up the street from the Michigan Athletic Facilities, that's great segue to the plug, so thank you, Chris, on that. Tell Tim and Keith that I sent you. Get a steak sandwich. I'll be giving away free Mr. Spots this football season, actually. Trivia questions. Follow us on Facebook. Find us at Sports in the Mitten and give us a like. Follow us on Twitter at Mitten Sports MI. Follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. I will try to put some free spots in your stomach. MIC Brooks is new. Nick Eubanks, seeing the field. I haven't heard anything, MIC, about Nick. I haven't. Not a peep. I haven't even heard his name brought up. And, I mean, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'll say this. I think coaches are trying to name as much guys as possible, A, to not be specific, but B, also to, you know, give these guys some credit for the guys that are really working. They're not mentioning Nate Shonley for no reason. A walk-on, second-year guy, they're not mentioning him just to mention him. Nate Shonley's working. I think Nate Shonley's going to be in that wide receiver rotation. Matt Morris, why do people get bent out 3 stars in the signing class? Chris Evans, because, Matt, those recruiting rankings mean zero, especially once they get on campus. Zero. If you base a player on your recruiting rankings, I think you're missing out. I use this. Le'Veon Bell at Michigan State was a 2-star. He's one of the best running backs in the nation. Darquez Dennard at Michigan State was a 2-star. At one point, Josh Metellus, and when I had Josh on my podcast when he was in high school, Josh was a 2-star. So you can't. Derek Green was a 5-star. Shane Morris was a 5-star. Sam McGuffey was what? Wasn't he a 4-star? 5-star? He was a can't miss guy too. And I think a lot of those guys are rated. Andre Pipkins was like a high 4-star. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, back to the overrated thing. Okay, yeah, I'm getting off track here. The recruiting rankings don't mean anything, guys, really. If they're highly ranked, that just means, I mean, sometimes, of course, like Rashawn Gary, Aubrey Solomon, of course, you know, Tariq Black, Donovan Peoples-Jones, for the most part, those guys are right because they have all the things. They have all the measurables. They've tested out. They have the athletic ability. But athletic ability and all those, you know, the high testing out and everything, once you get on campus, doesn't mean crap to a guy who's told, hey, you're an underrated recruit. You'll be lucky to go play Division I football. He finds himself at Michigan, with all these other guys that have all these high profiles around all these recruiting sites, they're super popular on social media, and you know, here you are, it's just, you know, some guy trying to, don't underestimate that guy's work ethic, because that guy is, that's all I'm saying, is that it's not always about that. And I hate that sound cliche, but you cannot measure the size of a guy's fight based on his looks. You just can't. So, or his 40 time, or how much he benches. Now, granted, I will give you, a lot of times those guys that have those superior skills, yeah, they're going to be good if they put it all together. But that, we'll save that for a whole nother topic. All right, as requested, Jim Harbaugh overrated thing. This was on the Detroit Free Press by Brian Manzullo, and he did not write this. He's citing, so don't go attacking Brian and saying he's calling Jim Harbaugh overrated. He links to a CBS Sports poll, which asked one-fifth of the 130 active head coaches in FBS, who's the most overrated and most underrated coach in college football? And I'm reading directly from what Brian wrote. Though 48% of respondents chose not to answer, so that's basically half, despite being granted anonymity, 13% said Harbaugh, the highest percentage of the group. Alabama's Nick Saban, Florida Atlantic's Lane Kiffin, and Illinois' Lovie Smith tied for second place. Why Lovie? Why Lovie? So, okay, half of the people did not vote. 13% of, what's half of 100 and, what did you just say, 130, so 65. 13% of 65, somebody do that math for me. So that's like basically an eighth of 35. Is that four people, maybe? So four guys said that. Who are those four guys? I don't know. But Brian Manzullo goes on to cite maybe some possible candidates here. He said multiple SEC coaches, including Nick Saban and Auburn's Gus Malzahn, have expressed concern over Michigan's offseason satellite camps, many of which have taken place in the South the past 2 years, including suggestions that Michigan may be breaking or bending NCAA rules. The NCAA has since modified its satellite camp rules. Other figures, such as Georgia coach Kirby Smart and Ohio State athletic director Gene Smith, have fired barbs toward Harbaugh over the past 2 years as well. So, okay, this is my problem with it, and it's crappy math. This isn't on Brian at all. Why do this, CBS? It's for clicks, okay? So 1/4 of half of the 130 coaches, 13% of these guys, and half of them didn't vote. Whatever, it doesn't make sense. Okay, so there's 4 out of 130 FBS coaches who are willing to go on the record and say Harbaugh is overrated. Okay, well there's probably about that many who have already gone on record publicly and, you know, fired shots at him or questioned his tactics or anything. So I mean, I don't think it's that hard. When you read a headline like that, you're like, oh man, this poll, Harbaugh is the most overrated. Like, I mean, they wouldn't even, 48% of respondents chose not to answer the poll. It's a weak ass poll. Back to the, base, weak ass poll. Did that cover it? That's my take on it. It's a weak ass poll. And CBS got some clicks out of that puppy. You know it. You know it did. If you're going to ask that, if it's a poll and you want it to be an accurate poll, in half of your survey field didn't answer, then it's not accurate. Because what if the other 87% of coaches said Harbaugh's not overrated? But because of that small sample size and he had the 13%, which one more person said he was overrated, then who else did they mention? Lovie Smith for God knows what reason. Lane Kiffin and Nick Saban. So one more person out there was willing to go on record and say that they thought Harbaugh was overrated. So again, it's a crappy poll. It is a really small sample size. Half of the field didn't ask or didn't answer the question. So, but we can talk about it because I don't think Jim Harbaugh is overrated. I think he's gone 20-6 in the past 2 years. I think that he's recruiting some of the best recruiting classes in the nation. I think that he just got his one of the best wide receiver hauls in Michigan history. I think that he's got everybody. I'll tell you this, being down there all the time, and we're going on 55 minutes, so let's just make this thing an hour. Why not? Having fun. He's got Michigan going in a direction that is unquestionably going to lead to some type of Big Ten, it's going to lead to a Big Ten championship. It will lead to the playoffs. I don't want to go on forecast and say I don't think they're a playoff team this year, but I do think Jim Harbaugh gets Michigan into the playoffs. I do think that Michigan under Jim Harbaugh, and I know it's been 2 years, year three is going to say a lot, but to say that he's overrated, he's won everywhere he's been. I mean, he's been to Super Bowl, Andrew Luck, Stanford. Come on, guys, overrated. Base, I'm sorry, I did not see that comment. Put it in there again. But yeah, so I think that CBS poll sucks. I don't think it's really truly indicative. Because how about this? A lot of coaches have gone on record. Big Ten coaches have gone on record to say how much they respect Jim Harbaugh. So you got to take it for what it's worth. That poll definitely, it'd probably be more suited. There are four guys in the SEC and a couple others lingering around the South who absolutely hate Jim Harbaugh. That's probably more accurate, and I can't argue with that. Not at all, because why? Jim Harbaugh is a threat to him, right? So how overrated was he at Stanford when he wasn't doing satellite camps? Was there a poll during that time? That's all I want to know. So anyway, guys, 56 minutes, there you guys go. Base, you should see what Michigan State fans have said about that article. It's hilarious. I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it. And regardless of, you know, what team you're a fan of, I mean, I think right there that I just broke it down pretty good. I mean, read the article. It's on the Detroit Free Press by Brian Manzullo. Jim Harbaugh overrated. Read the article. I mean, I think that Brian does a pretty good job of citing, you know, who said what. And all that, and mentioning, you know, that half of the respondents chose not to answer, I think that that's big too. So when you see it on Twitter real quick, a quick headline, or you see someone post it, and all you see is coaches say Jim Harbaugh's most overrated coach of college football, then it gives you the impression like, wow, man, all these college football coaches are really just talking a bunch of crap about Jim Harbaugh. And then it gets fans riled up, and then, you know, if you're an Ohio State fan or a Michigan fan, and message board, Twitter, ha, your coach sucks, he's overrated, you know, you guys know how it goes. Luigi the Next Taco, Jacob Walter wants to know, those are huge shoes to fill. Casey Jean, that comment disappeared. Ask it one more time, please. I'll end on your question, Casey. But yeah, Luigi the Next Taco, or this guy, the next Kalik, the next Jabril, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, let's pump the brakes a little bit on that. But I think the results are pretty clear. I mean, Greg Madison has had incredible pass rushers. You know, we're looking at Chris Wormley and Taco Charlton, two of the best. They combined for like 16 sacks together last year. Taco had 9.5 or 10, depending on, you know, what you're looking at, what stat or what website. But 9.5, 10 sacks, and he did it on one leg. So, Casey, if you put that one up one last time, I'll end it on that. We're on the 58-04. There you go. And just saying that a poll with Saban as the second most overrated coach should be thrown out immediately. Well, yeah, Casey, I mean, overrated? I mean, hated, maybe. Overrated? How is Nick Saban overrated? All he does is just win national championships. Alabama's a perennial favorite. How is that overrated? I completely agree. So, guys, I want to thank everybody. This was a fun episode. I thought maybe, you know, go a half hour, answer some questions. One last one. Heard anything on James Hudson? Will he be too deep on the D-line? They were talking about James. I did hear James was mentioned. I don't know too deep, but he, you know, he'll get some reps in there. Michigan's got a deep D-line, too. Just don't consider the freshmen coming in. Consider some of those other guys that have been there. Michael Dwumfor. I think Michael Dwumfor is going to get in there. So keep an eye out for him. You are like me at a party. Just one more. All right. Well, Chris, everything, yeah. Just one more, guys. I promise. Just one more question. I like talking about football. I enjoy what I do. I like getting questions from you guys. I like getting good questions. And, you know, you guys obviously know your stuff. You guys follow football, Michigan football as well. So I do appreciate that. Best lineman besides Mason Cole at Michigan. Ooh. On the team, I see Brooke. You're putting me in the between a rock and a hard place. Offensive lineman or defensive lineman? Can I use an escape? Because of best lineman, Mason Cole, then the next one I would say is Rashawn or Mo. Probably Mo Hurst. Best lineman after that. definitely Mohurst, I would say. Mohurst is the best D lineman. He's the best lineman at Michigan, put it that way. I was going to tell a story, but that'll be another 10 minutes. So, guys, I appreciate everybody. This was a really fun episode. Yes, D-line or O-line? Maurice Hurst, MIC, Brooke. There we go. Really fun. Now we're cracked. Now we're over an hour, more than an hour. So, again, follow me on Twitter, at AdamBiggers81. All my stuff's on FanRagSports.com, at Fanrag_U, at Fanrag Sports. Be sure to listen to the podcast on the Fanrag Sports Blog Talk Radio channel. We just set that up. Gonna have all the audio, versions there. So if you want to listen to it while you're, doing whatever you're doing around the house, going for a run, whatever. If you like this setup, I like the setup. It's fun. Watch it live. Send me your questions on YouTube. Hit me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. Again, like Sports in the Mitten on Facebook, Sports in the Mitten. Follow on Twitter at Mitten Sports MI. Again, I want to thank Tim and Keith down there at Mr. Spots. I like the shirt. He asked me, what color do you want? And he had all these different colors. As soon as he said athletic gray, I go, athletic gray. There we go. Plus, if you get a stain on athletic gray, you really can't tell because it just kind of blends in, right? So I do appreciate that. And again, one more final shout out to Mr. Spots, 808 State Street, MrSpotsAnnArbor.com. Thanks again for watching. MIC Brooke, I respect your content. Hey, I respect you guys. Coming in here and asking questions. Again, it was really fun. We're going to do this all the time. Follow me on Twitter, like I said. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. I'll do live streams from when we get availabilities and everything like that. So basically just follow along and I'll keep doing this. Had a blast. Thanks, Base. So did I. Base7769. Had a blast. I did too, man. You guys have a good Thursday. I'm Adam. This is Sports in the Mitten. And I'll talk to you guys next time.